This afternoon we open the Word of God in the New Testament in the Epistle of James, page 1849 in your pew Bible, 1849. Our passage we find in James chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 27. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's our scripture passage. This afternoon, the text for the sermon we find in the address of the Lord's Prayer and what we confess regarding it in Lord's Day 46 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 59 in the back of our Blue Psalter hymnal, page 59, Lord's Day 46. There we echo the word of God as follows. Why did Christ command us to call God our Father? At the very beginning of our prayer, Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer: the childlike awe and trust that God, through Christ, has become our Father. Our fathers do not refuse us the things of this life. God, our Father, will even less refuse to give us what we ask in faith. Why the words, who art in heaven? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly, and to expect everything for body and soul from his almighty power. That's Lord's Day 46. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last week In Lord's Day 45, brothers and sisters, we focused on our communion with God in Christ, for which we show our thankfulness in prayer. We confessed what belongs to such a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him. We learned to pray for the things that are truly important to God. We learned to see our needs, our desires, and our priorities in connection with God, in regard to His name, His kingdom, and His will. That's part and parcel of a life of faith in which we learn to live with God, learning to speak with God. For prayer is our thankful response to the fact that God is our God and our Father through Christ. Prayer also is a response of faith upon our listening to God, listening to His word for us. For a good and pleasing prayer, we have to know the one true God who has revealed Himself in His word. That's why we communicate with Him in prayer. That's how we show our communion with Him, by prayer. He wants to include us in His great work in this world. He wants us to hallow His name, and He wants to involve us in the gathering and increase of His church, in the coming of His kingdom. And He wants to see us do His will in our life, in our work, in our marriage, in our business, you name it. That and much more God wants us to bring before Him, our Father, as humble children, in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, as we have seen last week in Lord's Day 45. Thus, the Lord's Prayer receives our attention this afternoon, brothers and sisters, by which the Lord Jesus taught us to include all these needs and desires in our prayers. And we start out with the address, Our Father, who art in heaven. Now, for many people, however, the Father name is not associated with something honorable. Many people have a problem with the Father name. Yes, we are living in a time in which we hear, on the one hand, the complaint that the real fathers are gone, while on the other hand, there is the problem that people can't address God as Father when He allows hunger, warfare, and violence to exist in this world. That is because people look at God the Father from their position in this world, based on their experiences in this world. That's the wrong way. In fact, the opposite should be the case. As the Apostle Paul puts it in Ephesians 3, verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth derives its name." It's important to make this observation. Earthly fatherhood derives its name from God the Father. Addressing God as Father is something we must do through faith. We must learn to know what true fatherhood is all about, beloved. We must learn the Father from Jesus Christ. "He who has seen me has seen the Father," He said. Learning to be a loving and caring father also, we must take God's approach and practice as our model, in order that we may address God the Father as our Father who art in heaven, we must first learn to believe in Him, know Him, Trust him through what he has revealed to us in Jesus Christ. God has shown his fatherly love for us by giving to us the dearest he had, his only son. And he also assures us in his word that he will give us all things with him. That's the basis we need to have in our faith for us to address God as our Father who art in heaven. That's the correct attitude in a prayer that is prayed with childlike reverence and trust. That's the attitude Christ modeled to us, taught us, and now commands us to express in our prayer to God. Hence, I proclaim to you the word of God. We address God as our Heavenly Father to express our faith and trust in him. We see, first of all, God is gracious, and secondly, God is great. So that's how I would like to summarize the message of this afternoon. We address God as our Heavenly Father to express our faith and trust in him. And we see, first of all, that God is gracious, and secondly, that God is great. So God is gracious. So, brothers and sisters, let's be sure to start at the right side of the matter. It's not so that the child makes you a father, but the father makes the child. The father gives you a place as child. The same applies here in regard to the address of our prayer. It's not so that we make God our father. No, he makes us his child. As I said, that's important for us in a world in which many people have a problem calling God their father due to their bad experiences with their earthly father, or because people cannot imagine God to be a father who will bring hunger and warfare on the earth. Those people, however, make the same mistake the Greeks already made. They imagined the gods as super people, the same as people on earth, only just a bit more powerful. Well, that's starting at the wrong end. That's making the light shine from earth to heaven instead of the other way around. That's what the Heidelberg Catechism calls not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly. Indeed, that's what the Greeks did. They projected all human weaknesses on the lives of their gods. That's not how we may look at God. God has revealed himself to us. God has revealed himself as God who makes us his children. Now, as you will recall, undoubtedly, beloved, right from the beginning, God lived with Adam as his child. They walked together as father with his son. Wonderful. God came to Adam in the garden to be with him, to speak with him, and to rejoice in him. Adam was at home with God. Until that day that Adam was not home, nor came home, but when he stayed away. That's the day that Adam hid himself from God. And why would he do so? Why does a child hide himself from his father? Because something is wrong. Because the relationship is broken. Now, what do we see God do at that occasion? God came to his child. He called him. God wants Adam to be his child again. He wants Adam to call him father again. How? By his promise of the son he would give, by Christ. Christ is the bridge between God and man. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we would come back to God as his children and call upon him, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. Hence, if you want to learn address God as Father, you have to look at Christ. You know, throughout the Old Testament, brothers and sisters, God has conveyed this desire to his people. Call me your Father again. As Moses sang of it in Deuteronomy 32, is he not your Father, your Creator, who made you and formed you? As also Isaiah prayed, You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. Chapter 63. Hence, the Lord prophesied about David. He will call out to me, You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. Psalm 89, verse 26. No wonder we hear the Lord complain where Jeremiah prophesies on behalf of the Lord. How gladly would I treat you like sons and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. Jeremiah 3, verse 19. Israel, however, did not know itself as God's children. They thought themselves too good, too great for that. Indeed, that's what we have to learn from Christ. That's what we have to hear in Christ's prayer, in Christ's instructions. God is your Father through me. Address God as Father. John 15. You see, beloved, and then we see Christ give his Holy Spirit to us, who enables us to call upon God, saying, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit takes what we have in Christ and gives it to us. He convinces us that we are not slaves, but children of God. After God's work on Golgotha, we have every reason in the world to call upon God as our Father. To be safe and to be secure with God as our Father. Abba, Father, Paul writes, that's the name by which we may address God in Hebrew, in Greek, and yes, in every language. This name is no longer restricted to the Jews. God's grace and salvation is proclaimed to all the nations. God makes them his children, children of the one Father. Together, we address him as our Father. For together, we hallow his name. Together we seek his kingdom as we become living stones in the spiritual house of God, children who are at home again with the Father. That's where we also learn to do Father's will, showing our love to God and our neighbor by keeping his commandments. You see, beloved, that in our life we express ourselves as children who say, Our Father, who art in heaven. For we have seen God as Father in Jesus Christ, which echoes in our faith, in our prayer as his children. And then the Father's desire to reflect the Heavenly Father as they show love and care and protection and direction and wisdom to their children. Then in our life as children of the Father, we show love to the widows and the orphans too. That's what James calls religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless. For it calls upon God as Father, who chose to give us birth through the word of truth. It calls upon God, who calls himself the father of orphans and the protector of widows in distress, Psalm 68. And we, as children, reflect our Father in heaven in our love and care for the neighbor. That, and much more, we express in our life of faith and trust, also in our prayers, because God has adopted us as his children through Jesus Christ. Now, these promises, beloved, we all receive. Not as individual persons beside each other, but together. And each one personally. We express this in the communion of saints. We also learn that here in the Lord's Prayer, we pray together, saying, Our Father. We share in the communion with God, our Father, in the communion of saints in the household of faith. That's also what's beautifully displayed at the celebration at the Lord's table, at which the Father gathers us. There he assures us that he as a father sympathizes with us and that he has removed from us all sins as far as east is from the west. And that's all fruit, however, from what the Father has done for us. Result of the love which he showed in Jesus Christ. Then you trust him as your father, so that you call upon him, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. You trust, as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, for God has become our Father through Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of him in faith than our fathers would refuse us earthly things. He won't deny us what we ask of him? No, beloved, that's not what we confess. He won't deny what we ask of him in faith. It's true. We may have asked for health, for healing, for work, for a husband, and it seemed as if God did not hear. Asking in faith, however, means that we ask God as our Father, whose will is good and whose way is wise. Asking in faith means that we see that he has given in Christ already more than we ever asked or deemed necessary. Asking in faith then also means that we accept his way, as Paul did. He suffered greatly of a thorn in the flesh and asked God to remove it. God denied his request, but said, My grace is sufficient. You see, that's God our Father for you. He's gracious for Christ's sake. He hears for Christ's sake. He gives us all things with him. When you have seen Christ, you will say, Our Father. And so we see in the second place, God is great. Christ taught us to pray, brothers and sisters, Our Father who art in heaven. Now, due to misunderstanding, that part of the address creates problems with some people as well. When they think of a father, it's someone they can go to, walk with, someone who is near. A father who is in heaven, however, seems far removed, distant. Then people think God is far away. We ought to worship him and give ourselves over to him in total resignation to his will. We just have to wait and see what God will do. He is highly exalted and we are so small. You know, that's how they pray in the Islam. Then we may like the worship part, yet that's not praying the praying that Christ taught us. Muslims don't pray to Allah as their father. To Muslims, God is far removed, but for God's children, the Father is not distant. He's near. When the address says, "Our Father who art in heaven," it does not express the place where God dwells, but God's greatness. As Solomon put it in his prayer, "You are so great, the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you." Indeed, God is our heavenly Father. Heaven is not far away, beloved. Those who call upon the Lord God, our Father, will find him near. We are living under an open heaven. One of the proof texts with Lord's Day 46 is Jeremiah 23, verse 23. "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away?" That's where the Lord explains that he is everywhere present and that not a sin escapes his notice. God sees and discerns every false prophet in those days who said they had received dreams in which God revealed a lot to them. "Do you think I don't know that," the Lord says, "and that I tolerate this?" No. God is a God who is far away in order to be everywhere at the same time and not to be bound to one place, the way we are. God is everywhere present and therefore must be worshipped and adored, indeed, yet not because he is aloof of all that we need. Rather, he dwells with everyone who calls upon him. Don't think of him in an earthly manner. Yes, even the name Father expresses his greatness and glory, beloved, as we read in James' epistle. "For he is the Father of the heavenly lights, the Father who himself made the heavens and placed the lights in them." That's how great and almighty he is. Yet also in his greatness, he is good and gracious. He is the Father of the heavenly lights who made all things so beautifully. Would he not take care of you also? God the Father does not change like shifting shadows. James adds, he is stable and the source of all good. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. Indeed, that's how the Lord Jesus also revealed him. "Every day, the sun rises," he said, "over the good and the evil people." That's the Father who takes care of a world that has fallen into sin. Don't blame him for the evil the people on earth do. Of course, God, the Father of lights, the giver of all good, grieves when he sees evil people exploiting his good gifts for their own evil practices. Still, yet, he makes his sun to rise over them. That's how good and great he is. Unlike any earthly father. "For his steadfast love is sure, it shall evermore endure." That's his steadfast covenant love, of which the sun and the stars remind us, as they did with Abraham. As many stars, so many children of the Father. No, brothers and sisters, we should not measure God as Father by the standards of the earth, nor compare him with the earthly fathers who fall short in many ways. We should not look upon God as Father in an earthly manner, but consider him as the Father who has manifested his love and care for us in Jesus Christ. You can never understand heaven from the earth. Only if you know God will you be able to understand man a bit? That's why it's so important to know God in Jesus Christ, in whom he has come so near to us. That's the kind of Father we have, who gave his only Son. That's how great God is, really, that he was able to become man in Christ and yet continue to be true God. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. He who has seen me has seen the Father. And what a Father! What a Father! Our Heavenly Father that is, whom we should honor and adore every day of the year, because he shows his grace and his greatness every day. What a Father who also wants to make us fathers and children perfect as he is perfect. God is perfect. That means, beloved, his goodness is infinite. And his grace is sovereign. His mercies are new every day. He is the Lord, our God, the Lord who is one, the God of one peace. And now we may reflect him in this. We are called to live a life of one peace. We may live that life when we receive the Holy Spirit, through whom we say, Abba, Father. We may live that life when we receive his Holy Spirit, who takes it out of Christ and gives it to us to live as his children. We may live that life when we look to heaven and reflect on earth the love, the goodness, and the grace of God. That's what we pray when we call upon God as our Father who art in heaven and desire for all his children the hallowing of his name, the coming of his kingdom, and the will of God in a life of obedience. When we pray for all his children for food and drink and for the power of his Holy Spirit to stand firm in this faith and trust in the midst of an evil world. Then, in the life of his children, you will recognize the Father again. That's a life the children receive upon prayer, by faith, through Jesus Christ. He taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, and you may believe and trust that he will give you that life. For he is your Father. In Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen.